This is Joel Goodman, your fellow American, coming to you across the state, across the country, and by way of the American-invented internet, across the world. Today is September 5th, 2022, a couple of days after Joe Biden's Soul of America speech, and a few more days, more than that, after the raid on former President Trump's home. I don't know what you think about what's going on. People are discussing the raid. They're discussing folders that are empty. There's only one way to describe it. It's serious, of course, but it's basically just a bunch of bullshit. It's a continuation of an attack on President Trump. Not because he's President Trump. It's because of the fact that he's anti-globalist. His first speech at the UN was brilliant. If you want to hear what he stands for, and why he did so much for America, and why the world responded, listen to that speech. He tells each nation's leaders to take care of their own country first. And yes, Trump has flaws, but we won't get into that. I've been looking at articles, and I see that MSNBC is just out there, and they're just promoting Trump to be arrested, and I covered that in an earlier podcast, and I won't go over it now. It's a little late for me. I'm somewhat tired. I've gone back to school for the first time in 50-something years, and looking at math equations is enough to drive you nuts. But enough about me. It's just a little explanation of why I'm a little scattered. But actually, I'm really scattered because I don't know where to begin to tell you what's going on. It's simple. It's a little bit of what this commentator tells you. It's a little bit of what that commentator tells you. And it's nothing about what they're telling you. I'm old enough to remember the assassination of President Kennedy. I was about 18 when it occurred. Or just shy of 18, somewhere around there, 1963, yeah, 18. And I remember that day as clearly as I remember anything in my life, much as a generation before me could remember where they were and what they were doing when Pearl Harbor was attacked. What I see, what I have seen, is from that day forward, there has been a continual decline in the liberty of the citizens of the United States of America. We began down the road, or on the path, describe it as you want, towards tyranny. And it had some very, very strong steps. It began actually before Kennedy's assassination. It began at the end of the Second World War, during the Second World War, with Roosevelt and Churchill to some degree. He was in great need, helping the Russians to the degree they did, and putting aside the fact that Russia was a co-invader of Poland and slaughtered thousands upon thousands of Polish officers, teachers, intellectuals after their conquest of Poland. And right after that, of course, he Stalin, invaded Finland in the name of creating a greater defense barrier. He just took land from Finland, and the West did nothing to help Finland. And then when Finland joined with Hitler, because Hitler was attacking Russia, and Finland said, well, an enemy of my enemy is my friend. And after the war, no one went to ask Russia, who then continued its attack on Poland, demanded retribution from them, financial retribution, and kept the land. No one said to Poland, to Russia, give the land back to Poland, to Finland. So Russia got away with some territory in Finland, and subsequently they were allowed to remain in Eastern Europe, which set up the entirety of the Eastern Bloc and the, as Roosevelt called it, the Iron Curtain. And of course it allowed the Allies allowed, well, Britain, France, and the United States allowed Russia to stay, the Soviet Union to stay in North Korea, which set up the Korean War. And the fighting of the Korean War was an abomination. We were at the point of mothballing our ships, disbanding our army, and all we had left, in a sense, was the atomic weapon, which we felt we were not going to use again. So that left 100,000 Chinese soldiers coming across the border into the Yalu, across the Yalu River, and attacking and slaughtering Marines, who made a miraculous retreat from the Chosun Reservoir. So even though we were bombing bridges in the north and doing this and that, we wouldn't attack China. We wouldn't attack Russia's supply routes into North Korea, into China, into North Korea. We were not going to fight the actual people causing the war. And that, of course, set up the premise for the Vietnam War, when the North Vietnamese just decided to attack, as the North Koreans decided to attack the South Korea, the North Vietnamese decided to attack South Vietnam, and we never allowed our army or air force or navy to attack basically China, and only limitedly attack North Korea when it was safe. We never bombed any Russian ships offloading military equipment in Haiphong Harbor. We just sent our planes there, and SAM missiles, surface-to-air missiles, became more and more effective. And our planes were being shot down more and more, and we couldn't suppress the fire, surface-to-air fire. So we were losing pilots, we were losing soldiers, and we wouldn't attack those, literally attacking our soldiers from many other countries, but mostly ours. And it continued. Then there was the assassination of Kennedy, of course, at the beginning, just before that, and that was what led to Vietnam. I believe because in 63, when Kennedy was killed, he was not willing to go fully into Vietnam at that point. The war was in Laos, if I remember, and there were a lot of drug operations by the CIA, and Kennedy then refused to allow the CIA to go ahead and, he refused to allow the Air Force to back up the CIA's invasion of Cuba at the Bay of Pigs, and I believe that's what wrote his death warrant. And when Johnson came in, the man who was not going to go into Vietnam, and whereas Barry Goldwater, his opponent, miraculous politician and statesman, Goldwater said, if we do go into Vietnam, I will fight it like a war, and he was immediately branded as a warmonger. And they said of him that he saw the world through rose-colored bomb sights. Of course, Goldwater had been a pilot during the Second World War, and he flew the Hump. That was the most dangerous transportation route over the Himalayas from India into China, supplying the Chinese. And several months after LBJ took office, after the death of Kennedy, we had 500,000 men in South Vietnam. Didn't happen immediately, but that was the total. So that war ended exactly the way the Korean War ended, with a stalemate, and again a loss of men and money, and it allowed for great turmoil in the United States, and the civil rights movement, and the anti-government movement, etc., etc. Eventually, Reagan came in, Mr. Wonderful, who increased the national debt, the deficit, total deficit, and allowed 2 million illegal aliens to settle in the United States and gave them amnesty, unlike Eisenhower, who had deported 1.5 million across the border in Operation Wetback about 10 years earlier, a little bit more. And there was Mr. Reagan getting involved in the Iran-Contra scandals, invading Grenada and invading Panama. From him, we went to George Bush invading Iraq over some very, very skewed reasons. Never clear, wonderful book called Secret Dossier by Kennedy's spokesperson. I can't remember his name. Anyway, I'll think of it in a minute. But it's called Secret Dossier. And Salinger, Pierre Salinger. And it gives different reasons, the signals that Saddam was given by the White House. But we had the invasion, and then, of course, we had the second invasion of Iraq, and then we had 9/11. And however it came about, whoever caused it, the buildings did not come down through successive compression pancaking. So we know that the story is a complete lie, as much as the Kennedy assassination story, claiming that Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone shooter, was a lie. And I know that. I'm a firearms instructor, a gun dealer, and I've worked with Carcanos. I've taken them out to the range and shot them, and it just wasn't going to happen the way they said it happened. I don't care how quickly you can shoot. Shooting that Carcano from that position, the fourth floor in the Texas Book Depository, the moving target going behind trees, behind signs, you're not going to get off those four shots, and three of them hitting Kennedy the way they did. So we went from Iraq to Afghanistan, which, of course, after 20 years, ended with the most abysmal pullout, leaving billions of dollars of equipment fully funding our former enemy and funding terrorists to a degree greater than they have ever been funded and equipped before. The most modern, up-to-date equipment was left. And that's Joe Biden, who had no problem doing that. Don't think that it was an error. That was intentional. Okay? That was intentional. And you go from there to the open border and the skewed elections and the attacks, the almost skewed elections in 2016, the attack on Trump from day one, the phony, absolutely phony Russiagate accusations, the two impeachments, again, just convincing people who don't truly know what's happening and don't follow politics to the degree that some people do to focus on Trump, 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 only because of what they're doing to him. So he lost with an incredibly, just corrupt election. I mean, there were irregularities, anomalies, broken laws. And then, of course, you had January 6th, which was anything but an insurrection. It was an agitated violence outside and very little violence inside the Capitol. Most people arrested and accused and still in solitary confinement to this very date were tourists. You know, they were angry, and God bless them that they were angry, but the actual violence was with a couple, literally just a very few, a handful, and probably count on the fingers of one hand, but was really instigated violence by the FBI and who knows who else. So you wind up with the raid on President Trump's home, which is a threat. Eventually he'll be accused of something, probably taken away in handcuffs. I mean, that's what Joe Biden was saying. He was accusing Trump and all his people of being a threat. And you handle a threat with violence. When it's a violent threat, and he kept saying there's violence, violence, violence. And of course, everything that the Democrats have been doing is exactly what Biden was complaining about, except he attributed it to the Republicans. So here we are. And in that little brief romp from the Second World War through today, some 80-odd years, we're in a country that is now a police state, has been for a while. It hasn't been a the economic system has not been free, laissez-faire capitalist system, oh God, since the 60s, a little bit before that, but definitely from the 60s on. Liberty effectively ended with the beginning of the war on drugs in the 70s with Reagan, and it was the nail in the coffin of liberty was the USA Patriot Act after 9/11. So the police state has been developing. It's been here. It's just more and more control has been given to the federal government. And you have on the right a bunch of lunatics demanding abortion, which immediately alienates 20 million people who otherwise might vote for you, putting the gun issue aside. So whoever's controlling the politics, who's behind the curtain on the Democratic Party and the curtain on the Republican Party, has taken Machiavelli's advice and divide and rule. And that's what the advice he gave to the Prince of Venice, I think it was in the 1600s. And he was asked, well, how do I rule? And he said, well, divide your population. Don't let them stay a cohesive force believing in the same things with the same goals. And then you can impose your will upon the splintered groups. So that having been done, and we are divided, ne'er to come together again through anything political. It just can't happen. And abortion is a great cause of that. It's that simple. The advice of the founding fathers, the model that they gave us when they put aside large state versus small state and came up with a bicameral house and religion by saying no religious test shall be required to hold offices to hold any office in the United States, not just federal. And they put aside for the moment the issue of slavery. They needed a country because of the threat that was that would redevelop after the Continental Wars. In other words, the fighting between France, Napoleon, and England ended. And, of course, it ended. And then soon after that, England attacked us in the War of 1812, trying to take back the country, no longer fighting the French. And the fear was back in 1787 at the Federal Convention that either the Spanish would get together with the French, or the French would get together with the English, or all three would get together, or one group would join with the Indians. And if the United States were not united in one country, as they had been during the Revolution, that any one of those powers now freed, now not having a distraction of an enemy, a continental enemy, could possibly overwhelm us, which almost happened in the War of 1812. So they knew that to have unity, they had to overlook certain things, but the Republicans refused to put abortion aside, as the Founding Fathers had put. The Founding Fathers had put aside slavery temporarily, just making it illegal after 1808, and then figuring they would deal with it as time went on. The more urgent necessity was unity for strength. And that's what they did, and we didn't take that example, the example of the Founding Fathers, this past year. So we are split, never to come again, and the Republicans will never have a full majority because of that. The natural majority of conservatism, true conservatism like Barry Goldwater, not social conservatism, religious conservatism, Christian conservatism, is not conservatism. So classic liberalism is true conservatism, but we no longer have classic liberalism, and we no longer have conservatism, classic or true conservatism. So the country is over. There'll be attack on our guns. They'll start attacking small gun dealers like myself over this, over that, finding technicalities here and there. And then they will control all the gun dealers, the large gun dealers who are corporate, and as they're doing with everything else corporate, bringing it into the fold of the federal government. Biden's speech was a threatening speech against half the political population of the United States. It was a threat. The week before, he again repeated that the Second Amendment does you no good unless you have F-15s. So his feeling is that the federal government is in fact unstoppable, and that it can't be defended against. So I assume that with the 87,000 more IRS agents, we may have some time until most of them are brought in and trained, and they add several thousand of them to the existing paramilitaries that the federal government has, and we have a weakened military navy, and who knows what's happening with the Air Force at this point. So our enemies are stronger, our economy is weak, and we don't have the cohesiveness to fight. The country is gone. We have a semblance of what we had. We have talk show hosts talking about abortion and American liberty. But if we look at America, the entire preamble of the Constitution was liberty for ourselves, the blessings of liberty, liberty for ourselves and our posterity. Well, the Constitution has long ago ended. It's no longer followed. We have no justice, nothing done to rein in the FBI and the CIA and Homeland Security. So that's it. I don't know what I've said this evening, except that's how I see the country as being over, and I don't know what lies in store for us, because without America, there is no free world. Zelensky in Ukraine is receiving a lot of money. Where all of it is going, we will never know. And of course, Biden is doing to Zelensky what the Democrats did to the Vietnamese, not allowing them to go north and attack North Vietnam or China. So I don't know how he will win if China has ships sending missiles over from Belarus, sending missiles over from Russia itself, and we're not allowing them to have the weaponry to attack Russian depots, military bases, missile launching sites close to the Russian border, within 100 kilometers or 200. Russia's expansive, but then they can stay in Russia and call all their troops back if they felt like it, and just spend the next 20 years bombing Ukraine. you know, they'll keep enough troops there to do what they have to do and blunt the offensive, the counteroffensive. But they can just sit back and just start building missiles and launch them. So that's that. And that's the world today. We've got green energy and no nuclear energy, which is clean. The cleanest energy we have is nuclear, and the powers that be will not allow us to develop more and more nuclear energy. That would solve all the problems, and fossil fuels would be limited, still in use. But the solutions are there, but those who want the change in the world, change in the world, the change in America, are not going to allow those solutions to be developed and come to fruition. So anyway, have a wonderful day or evening, wherever you are, and I thank you.